the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter. A chair is a religious symbol of teaching authority on religious matters. But actually, a lot of time throughout Christian history with the Catholic faith, you've seen the Pope wear the Triple Crown. And the purpose of that is that he is the authority primarily in religious matters. But also, Jesus blesses the religious leaders in the governance of the people, even to the extent of temporal affairs. And so that was recognized. And so, for example, a bishop is a governor, not just in the religious matters, but he's also a governor of the people in that land to guide them as a mentor. All right. Now the thing is regarding human matters, the priest, the bishop, the pope, they can make mistakes about human matters, such as when's the right time to start sowing your seeds for the harvest. The pope might, because the religious leaders may be in the know of a lot of the science of being successful. And that's the way it was in medieval days, and not everyone was had books available or learned people coming and giving counsel. So it behooved the bishops and popes to take counsel from the experts. And not every farmer, say, had access to the experts, but maybe the pope did. So it makes sense, even though it's not even a matter of religion. Prudence says I should listen to someone who's in the know. And so it was customary even then, especially in medieval days, in the Middle Ages, that even the pope had a crown in regarding temporal matters. And so he's first primarily out of religious matters, but then also the governance of the church in all of its temporal affairs. Which, okay, the governments of where all the other bishops go in the world, right? Or the governance of the liturgy, That's not strictly speaking from Scripture. But those are two crowns already. Governance by way of faith and morals, primarily. That's the first crown. The second, you say government in the temporal church matters. But the third would be, then, as I was implying here, is governments even in society, insofar as it makes sense that this person has wisdom, experience, and others around him to help govern people towards heaven. This is all about governance. And you'd say, okay, well, where did all that come from? The chair represents not just the authority in a governing way, because we have elected officials in civil governance, and that too must be respected by virtue of piety. Okay? The chair itself represents primarily the teaching authority in matters of religion, matters of faith and morals. And so the feast day of the chair of St. Peter is in respect for that teaching authority, primarily on the religious matters. And you think, again, the Pope could be wrong about the weather, about the science, about this or that, but because he's probably in the know, he should be listened to. And I think Pope Francis has actually exercised some of those comments. He made comments that aren't even really religious matters. Where the Pope then will never be wrong is on these religious matters, which comes from this gospel and others related to it, is Jesus promises that Peter and his successor to be a rock for the people, so that when we follow what the Pope says, we will always be on track towards heaven regarding matters of faith and morals. And so the feast day of the chair of St. Peter is paying res- or not paying It's just simply a celebration of our respect, everyone's respect, the church's respect for the authority Jesus gives to men. All right? Jesus has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said that. And then by implication, to teach other people. And then also to sanctify. And then to govern them, shepherd them. Govern and shepherding, think of that as one and the same thing. To govern them towards heaven. And that's what Jesus does. But he passes that threefold authority onto, maybe think of the three crowns, the tiara. You can maybe think of it in three ways in that way too if you want. Is the three ways of how Jesus acts in our midst now through his church. The authority to teach the truth. The authority to sanctify through the sacraments. And the authority to govern by the pastors. And so the Protestant mentality is just the opposite of that respect. What is a person protesting when they're a Protestant? They're protesting the established authority. But you know, when you really think about that, it doesn't make sense because what that person ends up doing is denying from someone else, a pope, or even someone who's Catholic, even, you know, denying of them what they themselves take up. Say, basically, I deny you the authority of matters of to interpret Scripture. I deny that of you. But in the end, they end up taking up that authority themselves because they want to be their own interpreter or help others interpret. If a person says to you, you don't have to follow the Pope, you don't have to, there's no authority there that you have to follow, only Scripture, well then you just gave me permission to even deny that of you. I don't have to follow what you said, you gave me permission. All I need is the Bible. Why should I listen to you? I'm not going to listen to you, I'm just going to listen to the church then. You see the reasoning there? If they deny some established authority, that exercise of that authority, they're also giving others permission to do the same to them. That's why there is no. That's why there's splinters into the thousands now. I don't know how many hundreds of Protestant sects is because there's no promise of unity by way of governance, sanctifying, and of teaching authority. This celebration today is celebrating that Jesus is the rock, and then he gives that same authority to other men to teach in that same authority. And so our Lord is promising to Peter that integrity of the faith. Now, here's what you would say. Well, what about the bad example of the popes and this and that or anyone? It's called an ad hominem argument. Ad hominem meaning it's against the man, and because this person of bad character or bad upbringing or even just lack of money or bad experience, God can't be guiding through that person. All right, that argument doesn't hold water. Just because a person is a sinner doesn't mean that he cannot be an effective leader for a bad example, but God can still lead through the imperfections. And that's what Jesus did with Peter from the very start. Peter was a sinner, and he even denied that he even knew the Lord 3 times, but still he ended up being a leader of the apostles, and then the apostles all being leaders of the Catholic faith. So to say that a person doesn't have the right upbringing or just simply is not good in their morals is not sufficient grounds for denying the authority of the church, of the establishment. And basically Jesus was saying, he who hears you hears me, As long as you teach the truth, they're hearing me through you. That's what Jesus gave the apostles. He who hears you, meaning you apostles, they're hearing me. And that's based on also the other concept of the suffering and persecution. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So maybe that's where it comes understanding of it in the best context. To exercise authority necessarily will involve the cross for the sake of that truth and charity. So if Jesus gave the apostles the authority to teach and preach and govern in his name and to sanctify, they're also going to carry that cross and wear the crown of thorns. So anyone who wants to have that power, they're also going to have the humiliation of the cross. it's not all rosy to be in a position of authority. Hence, that's why within the liturgy, we're praying for the Pope and our bishops. So I'll leave it with that. Then let's then springboard into this celebration and pray for our Holy Father, Pope Francis, and all bishops in union with him.